coming to you live from the City of Angels. I landed in Los Angeles about 5 days ago, I think, and it already feels like a month. But I want to talk to you about writing with Alex Geringas, seeing Katy Perry and meeting Michael J. Woodard. That's just a few of the things that we did, and that was actually all on one day. There's a lot of other awesome things and people that I'm meeting and places that I'm traveling to, but I want to particularly talk about Alex Geringas and that day writing with him, because he's someone, as you know, that's been on this podcast. And I'm sitting here in LA, like I said, it's raining and I've got my tea. I can't really believe that I'm here, and it's slightly surreal. Like, we went down Sunset Boulevard. I saw Ben Barnes, one of my favorite actors and musicians ever. You might be able to hear the noises around as well, because it's such a vibrant city and I'm stuck here. Not stuck here, I'm living here in West Hollywood and probably just stuck because of the rain. As you can tell, there's a lot of stuff that is going through my mind. There's a lot of things that I really want to make sure I'm imparting, but particularly working with Alex is something I want to go into. It's so surreal. I've actually met him now, and it's gone from studying the guy when I was about 19 or 20 and I was looking into anything I could find. I remember Max Martin, John Mayer, Ryan Tedder, and Alex Geringas came up because of his Grammy Award with Kelly Clarkson, among other things, and everything he's done since then. He's a guy that I remember studying. I can picture the interview now in my head, hearing about his career and his skill set and his success. And now I'm here in LA pretty much because of his invite, and then meeting James Guido as well, and Lauren Arbend and Jerome Renard, and all of us coming together and working together. That's another exciting thing. Probably won't have time to talk about that today. But mainly it was having Alex come on the show, becoming friends, then actually writing with him. So I want to talk about that process and talk about that session as well, because that is going to be the most useful thing to hear how that went. And even for me, I'm going to enjoy going back over that and unpicking some of the genius that I saw. So some of the things that I'll talk about were seeded in the interview, about how he wrote with Busby and his approach to songwriting. You can get that wonderful essence of Alex, but I promise you there's this other gear that he goes into, and there are so many things I found fascinating when I was working with him, and James Guido was in there with me as well. Also want to say thank you, because a bunch of my clients have been very patient and understanding with the time zone shift, because I've been working with I think it's about 4 or 5, and actually a couple of new people, like a brand new person signed on today. And it's been really, really humbling to be able to not only come here and work with amazing people, stay in a great place. My host is awesome as well. He's really creative, actor, fitness model, the classic LA thing, Caribbean boy as well. So it's been really feeling like home. Like I said, I got my tea, but just being here is surreal. Waking up, going for a run through a city that I have seen in so many films, I've heard about in so many different ways, going and grabbing some breakfast because of a great, great friend of mine, he's able to get me some discount here, which I'm very lucky to have, and then logging on, working with sometimes a couple of clients in the mornings, and then spending my afternoons, not only with James and Lauren and Jerome, going and writing people I really respect and love, and they're so impressive, and they've come out here on this crazy whim. All of us are trying to work together, and they're really challenging, and they're interesting, and they think differently. And being able to do that in my afternoons and then go and meet people like Alex Geringas, and not only meet him, but work with him and have him introduce us to other people, to show him his awards, to take him to this show that I'm going to talk about in just a minute. And I just don't know how to fully talk about it, but if anything, I hope this is inspiring. And I've had a couple of lovely messages from people as well, talking about really wanting to come and do trips like this as a songwriter themselves. And this is just me saying you can. It just takes planning. It just takes being able to meet that one right person, building that relationship, building that connection, as I've done with Alex. And even having that been solidified through someone else, Pete Kirtley, who's been on the podcast more recently, a guy that's been helping me out for a period of time now. And having these wonderful people, these opportunities and relationships, as I talk about, have been the things that allowed me to come out here. And then the work and preparation that I've put in, not only with this podcast, but as a songwriter and even as a coach, being able to have such wonderful clients that are understanding and flexible to be able to support me as I'm out here, it's slightly surreal. That's part of the reason why I want to document this, because it's not only, you know, to help other people, to hopefully drive them, to push them to find solutions in their own life, but truly this is also selfishly for me to think I am here. I have done it, and I think I was even a bit hesitant to do this podcast because that would mean I am here. that would mean I have taken the risk. That would mean I have put in the investment and hope to have it pay off. And even literally landing here and then the next day working with a wonderful client I just started working with in person in a park here in LA, it's kind of mind-blowing. And I think only maybe yesterday and bits of today, and even as I do this, has it sunk in what I'm doing, who I'm doing it with, and where I am. So that's what I wanted to start with. And, you know, working with another client actually with James, you know, hiring out a studio and working on his demos, it's just been fantastic to have these opportunities and truly, as I said earlier, to have the relationships, not only with people like Alex, which are clearly, obviously, strangely amazing, like a fantastic human being, is to be able to work with someone of his caliber is just, it's fascinating. And just spending time with him is what I hope to break down in just a moment. But then working with people like James and Lauren and Jerome, people who are also searching for their place, searching for that validation, searching for those bigger projects that you can then, well, you can live off, you can rely on, you can build your career on. And then the fantastic pleasure that makes me a better writer and, if anything, a better human being, pushing other people to work on their projects, pushing other people to structure their albums, their EPs, to work on their songs and develop their ideas. So that mixture of things has made this trip just fantastic so far. And it's only kind of 5-6 days in. So this is the first update. I hope to do a couple as I go through. But let's get into it. Let's talk about Alex Geringas. For those of you who've listened to his interview, you know how special a human being he is. But what I'm going to try and do, along with the premise of this show, is talk about my personal singular experience in hopes that you can imagine you are here and you are pulling from things in the same way as I am. We talk about this on the show, how you write in detail to actually make it incredibly general and incredibly interesting for the people to have that shared experience. So it went a bit like this. As you know, Alex is an early riser. Again. So James and I said we'd meet there at 8:30 a.m. So wake up here in West Hollywood, and if you check out our map, we were going to kind of the border between Glendale and Burbank for 8:30. And I just absolutely love that about Alex, that he's a family man, but he gets going really early in his day. And obviously it seems to work for him. So doing that really early morning session was something I really enjoyed. And if anything, I probably would adopt it if I had the choice. So we get there, get in the Uber, and again, just fangirling out on this city, which I'm really trying to enjoy because I'm sure it can wear off. I'm sure it's different. And I've actually seen the underbelly of this city as well. But if anything, it was more beautiful to see that contrast, to see what people are doing, how they're existing. But driving up through the hills, Hollywood Hills, you know, and these crazy things that you can touch and you can see, even the simple things to me are just beautiful and fascinating. And going over and seeing the kind of Paramount Pictures or Universal Studios and just driving up through that part of the city was just amazing. And then pulling up in the perfect sun, just in the shadow of these mountains, to the studio. And I promise you, as soon as I arrived, my Uber was literally turning around and I saw Alex just standing there outside of his studio. And I don't know if I can still believe it actually happened, but there he is. The guy that I studied all that time ago, the guy who's been kind enough to come onto the podcast to help me to take those calls outside of the show, after the podcast, after the things you've heard, and really share his other kind of insights and thoughts and tips and stories and anecdotes. There we go, get out the car, we have this massive hug. We just laugh, have this massive hug, and he's a fantastic guy and his energy is just incredible. And you can check out my Instagram if you want to see bits of the studio as we made our in, but as we made our way in, sorry, takes me in and James arrives like 2 seconds after, and there's this lovely kind of moment where we all get to meet for the first time together, and watching James come around as I was and look at the studio, that what he's built, how he's built it, and just the genius of all those touches and the things that he shared and the stories that he has, and his wife's office as well, and then Duddy, the other producer, who I'm looking forward to meeting as well, all in that area. And it's just this amazing pod of creativity and humor and character. And then you go into this studio, and for the, again, those of you guys, eventually we might have the video out for that interview, but Alex's studio is just fantastic. It's kind of like a dreamland. It's really, really strange how awesome it is. So I might try and get some more photos and put those up as well for everyone's benefit, because I get to see that on Zoom. I get to see that a number of times or when we call each other. You go into the studio, and I promise you he had 1, 2, 3 different types of keyboard and pianos, and then two synths, this huge screen. He does film as well. So you've got this incredible setup and this warm, warm human being. So I would love to go blow by blow of everything that was said, but I don't know if I can. And then we went to breakfast, and just these things in America, I don't know how to put it, but it's just the touch, just being here. I'm just such a romantic for that culture. And not to a sickening degree. And if anything, I'm quite anti that in how I live, but I couldn't deny it was special. And even just grabbing breakfast and him sharing insights. And one thing I remember him saying, which really reflects with what I saw from a lot of artists, independent artists who have to do content all the time, particularly in 2023, when I was talking to a couple of my clients, he said that often the industry here will sit back and allow people to get to a point where they are so desperate that they almost become like canaries. You know, he said that let people get to this point where there's artists that are willing to do anything. They're willing to sign anything. They're willing to say anything, to sing anything. That is then when he saw, at least traditionally, maybe not as much, I hope not as much, that's when he saw labels would come in and start to work with them. That's when they'd really see this, oh, we've got a suffering artist. Let's save them. Let's help them. And that was the nature of the industry. And I'm seeing that reflected in artists that are being burned out. There's this really interesting thing that he talked about there at breakfast. And it actually reflects another thing we had, another idea we shared on a private conversation, is that if you are an independent artist, yes, it is so hard. And you can often end up in that position whereby you are quite desperate. And I remember talking to Grace Jackson about the fact that it isn't that smart for me here, if people listen to this show, to say, oh yeah, go to LA, go and sleep on couches, do anything to realize your dream. It's like, that is not the reality. But I understand why people do get burned out, why it's so hard. But Alex did give this kind of little nugget of hope for those who are willing to work hard. And it was, if you can find some audience, if you can find a way to do sustainable content, if you can find a way to do sustainable music in terms of the project and the costs and who you get involved, if you have that control, those are the artists that are dominating the industry. Those that have a really solid, smart team, not necessarily a record label anymore, not necessarily a publisher anymore, but those who can find their island and create that island. I talk about this analogy of sprinkling sand into the ocean. At first, people kind of look at what you're doing and go, what the hell are you doing? You're not going to make any difference. You know what? Come to my island. Come over here. Come and follow the convention. But over time, if you can find the resources and the support and the skills to kind of sprinkle enough sand into the ocean, right, that collects. And suddenly you have this island, something above the surface that you can stand on, you can dictate from, you can create these things. And if you look through the current industry as well, Olivia Rodrigo, Tate McRae, anyone who's taken off, this has been their positioning. This has been the way they've started. And of course, they then graduate into major record deals and labels and all those things. But just check out your favorite artists and how they really did what they did, including Ed Sheeran. So that was an interesting insight in breakfast. And to summarize, he's saying, you know, don't be vulnerable. Be someone who's creating their own independence. And I also often meet clients and they can sometimes be quite ashamed to say they have a day job. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? That's amazing. That is amazing. You know, make sure you're stable. If you're at home, awesome. And your parents want to support you, that's absolutely perfect too. But you don't need more than 3-4 days a week to do songwriting, to be an artist, to be a producer. You might well be able to use 5 or 6 days a week if you need to learn, if you need to work on things, if you're in the studio, if you're touring, that's very different. I often, I'm working with aspiring professionals, aspiring musicians. That's more realistic if you can work a couple of days a week and then support yourself in a way that you can healthily really put those skills in over time. So let's get into the session. Alex Goringas, finally, been building it up, I know, teasing for 14 minutes, but finally writing with Alex Goringas. I want to talk about some of the things I learned from him. We started our session once we came back from breakfast to his beautiful, beautiful studio. I had to kind of try and concentrate because it was so cool in there. We started by playing each other demos. And Alex actually had this fantastic playlist that you can probably check out if you go and look at Alex Goringas online. You can see all the things he's done. And I promise you, he was doing it in such a beautiful and humble way because that's the way that Alex is. But he's worked with people like Jesse J, Snoop Dogg, and we found out Timbaland as well. And James and I were just sort of laughing. We're looking and again, trying to trying to be within the moment, there's a certain etiquette that you have. But me and him were like, oh yeah, of course, okay, yeah, cool, Timberland, yeah, 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 all these kind of things, and laughing with Alex, you know, it's this wonderful, wonderful moment. And but he was so proud of the things that he'd done. And I know that sounds strange, but he really cared. He wasn't just throwaway. He wasn't just name dropping. He was talking about the things. And it's fantastic because he had these stories as to, you know, this is how this song went. This is what this interaction was like with this person, as he kind of shared on some of the podcasts as well. But just that initial phase of seeing the quality of what he does. And he talks about people like Lily that he works with, or talks about some of his collaborators, one of whom was quite funny, actually. Alex butt-dialed him while we were doing some lyrics. And so this really sweet conversation with a guy who I found out wrote like all of High School Musical. It's an incredible human being. But he was on the phone as well. And you're just seeing Alex the way he is, the people that he's worked with for a number of years. It's really warming to see someone who's so pure and genuine. But hearing his songs and then having him listen to our songs and really, really digging at them, and particularly James and I shared some stuff, and he was very hard and very clear and actually quite a fatherly, kind way of saying, look, this is not what's happening right now, but this element of what you're doing is fantastic. And I think James and I both agreed that it was nice to go in with someone like that and really get the hard lessons, really get the hard insights as to what he thinks. In fact, not even what he thinks, just what is happening in the industry and his examples. So Alex is such a warm and special guy, like I said, because he's so, so clearly successful, right? And I extend that to also his personal life. His family are fantastic. And I'm actually going to be writing with his daughter, Polly, as well. He's a fantastic artist, tomorrow, up at studio. Like, Alex was like, yeah, cool, just use our studio. It's amazing. You know, it's, as I said, I'm doing this podcast in part to kind of catch up to the value and to the kindness and the opportunity that he gave me by inviting me out here. But just seeing someone like that, the way they operate, the way they think about music is fascinating. And his comments on the industry, and in particular how production's moving and who is able to achieve things and why. And, you know, even his previous assistants have gone on to, you know, Grammy fame. And just he had these fantastic insights that I'm still picking over as I speak. And I'd imagine for a number of months, I'll be thinking about the things that he said. And this was just in the first couple of hours. And one thing I really noticed when we started on the session, it was funny, at breakfast, he talks about this idea of ugly face. And I didn't really know what he meant. And I said, Alex, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, it's this thing that happens. He used the example of his daughter. The daughter's got his daughter has a boyfriend. And the boyfriend's very composed, talking to everyone. But then when he says goodbye to Alex's daughter, he has this really funny, like very clearly loving face. Apparently here in America, it's this thing where it's like, it's called the ugly face. It's like when you're so happy to see someone, you love someone so much, you're so passionate about someone that you can't help making kind of funny faces or weird noises. And so we started off on that idea because we talked about it at breakfast, just in a funny way. He talked about his family and we were like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then going into that session, we started to fire it up. And one thing, if I could, because I can't go blow by blow for the whole session, as I said, because we don't have 10 hours. But one thing I really took, or a number of things, the first being Alex is so humble. He's so hungry to find the right idea. Not necessarily concerned with what he thinks is best, like what is best, and his ability to step away, not just in a production sense. He was amazing as well, because James was sat there. Normally James will drive the session production-wise, but James was sat there kind of producing with Alex. And obviously James being aware, Alex's experience is such that you defer to him. But it was amazing to see Alex going, what do you think? Like, oh, I really want you to change it. And Alex would go, what do you think of this? He goes, oh yeah, amazing. And amazing. He goes, I love working with the producers, because one is working, the other one's kind of perceiving and adding ideas. And it was so cool to see James like showing plugins and showing little ideas and thoughts and shortcuts, or thought cuts, if you will, to Alex, and genuinely have a good sense for these things. Alex was like, oh, that's awesome. And really welcoming us into that environment as kind of co-writers, which is this crazy thing I'm trying to get my head around as I speak now, is that started off with an email a couple of months ago from someone I researched, I held to that standard. And last week, we finished the session that he loved and talked about to a couple of his collaborators. And the song he genuinely enjoyed. And I could see that, you know, I have a good feeling when people are humoring. And so does James, frankly. You know, we've had enough bad experiences, but someone we look up to, someone of that quality, is really bobbing and digging this idea and pushing us to think better and think harder. And that was another thing, is he had this fantastic performative, because it comes from an acting background, a performative way that he writes. Like when he's producing, he's very kind of mechanical, if you will, or kind of really efficient, sat there working as you need to. But then suddenly, once we had the beat, once we built this song that we were thinking about and the vision that we had, he stood up and he started to really beautifully like move around with this very soft and camp and saucy energy, and kind of doing the whole like Spotify pop impression, which he does so well. It makes me laugh now. But him kind of showing me the character of melodies that he was talking about. And I'd never worked with someone like that before, who's willing to go up and strut and kind of almost act out the song. And like, you know, covering his mouth, pretending to be this kind of young person who's kind of really interested in someone. And as our story kind of followed, I won't talk about it too much because it's not finished, but it's just fantastic to see. And then when it comes to the chorus energy, he's kind of stamping and moving and like sharp. And because we had a really nice hook originally and it was very cool, and we all agreed that, we went, oh no, this is great. Similar to feedback, is like, this is great, but it's not what we want. And then he goes, boom, here's the idea. And we go, oh, that's definitely the idea melodically. Then we see him mapping out this whole song and just loving his process of quick production. He has a mic set up just on the right of his production setup. You can check out a couple of photos, you'll see it as well. Just ready. And even James, you know, he's such a great sense for a lot of things. He was just clapping or clicking. Alex was like, that's great, do it now. James was like, oh, awesome, okay. And then he's like, couple of clicks and claps, and that forms an integral part of the beat. And then mapping vocals like that. And as I said, I think we were done in like 4 hours, 3 hours. And that's the power of meeting someone, understanding how they write. And again, I won't talk about all of the ways I approach the session, because I think that's something for another time. But understanding how you can move into the space, kind of like water, like find the space that's unoccupied and occupy that. Normally for me, that's been lyrics particularly, and melody, and even energy. And I joke with Alex, like sometimes being the best co-writer is knowing when to shut the fuck up. And he laughed so hard, and he agreed to a point. He went, yes, that is so true. If you're a new artist, very often producers don't like it when artists are stood at their shoulder giving them thoughts on the song when they haven't had time to fully do it themselves. And as an artist, if you can have this awareness of the production process, it can be really helpful to know when you need to be sitting and just observing, or sitting and letting the producer get to a point where they can then jump out again, as Alex did with that perspective, and go, cool, right, where's the melody? What's the story? Where's the lyric? And workshop, like I said, and so fantastically and so physically in his way. And I think it's a really important thing to be able to do that. And I remember there was a point in the session early where James and Alex were working on the beat and arrangement, and I understood what they were doing, but there was no space for me to be there. So what I did was I just put my headphones in, put my AirPods in, went through the voice notes on my phone and going, cool, what melodies do we like? What have we established so far? And then putting up on a Google Doc that I then shared to everyone, of course, when they needed it, but go, okay, cool, what has everyone said? Going through that free writing process, pretty much as soon as we started the session, as soon as the beat was started, I was going through my free writing. Anything that James said, Alex said, that I thought was going, boom, that's going in the top. And then slowly creating a structure and capturing as many melodies as I can, you know, being performative, and myself either getting up and kind of trying to enter into sort of like improv with Alex, like trying to understand what he's saying, what's the energy, what's the story. It's amazing how much comes out, which is hard because you have to go and then dig for it verbally, lyrics wise on a screen, which is difficult, but how much comes out just from moving with someone and kind of dancing with someone and playing when you're songwriting. I think that was such a cool thing. But then, as I said, while they're making the beat, I knew that I had to put my headphones in, go through the voice notes. Okay, what melody was good? Where does it go? What do we like? Does it sit with the beat that I'm hearing at the same time? You know, I had to put my headphones in while they're playing, and I can't distract them, but I also can't ignore what they're doing. So it's this strange thing. And then trying to map out different ideas for melody matching, you know, syllabic matching, what they've sung, what they want it to say, all the lyrics I have, and then trying to put them together. And even if the section changed, I already had a great structure of what I want to say in this section. That's why we have a free writing template. That's why we talk about the kind of subheadings for each of the sections. Even if something changes melodically, you know what you want to say in each of those sections. So that can be extrapolated, that can be worked on. And it was just this whirlwind thing. And the whole time I was trying to be cool and trying to be conscious. And I actually spoke to a new client this morning about the fact that when I'm in a session, I truly feel a pressure because this is what I do for a living. This is what I do and how I help other people. That when I'm in a session, I go, crap, I need to do this well. I have to work on this. And sometimes that's not great. You want to be free and fun like Alex did. But again, in that sense, I saw Alex going, okay, this is the kind of harder, more technical, mechanical work of the production. And it's also a huge feeling thing as well. Of course, producers are fantastic songwriters. That's why we work with them. But then him literally stepping back once he'd created this loop that kind of can then function by itself, which I talk about, he stepped back to be performative and walk around the room and kind of make all these different hand gestures and build these characters and explore to that point when we have such a cool journey for the song. And I love to see that switching back and forth. And James was great too, because he wasn't afraid. Even, like I said, both of us were very aware of the caliber of Alex. And he's this big, loving guy that comes with a lot of experience. But James and I were like firing ideas. And if it wasn't good, it's fine. We move on. Because you do go, oh, he hasn't taken my idea. And then all of the things kind of can start building on you. You can't start to bury yourself with, you know, this guy's really good. I really respect him. Did like my idea. And then you just lost 5 minutes. It's like, no, go, okay, cool, didn't like that. What do you like? And then get up and play and move and dance and don't be need to be seen. You don't need to be seen. As you just need to offer cool ideas. It's not about who's right or wrong. It's what's right for this. How can we make this right? You know, why is it wrong and how do we change it? And I think that was, you know, kind of two of the standout things was his ability to be humble and want to learn, but also very great at directing the session and being very clear about why something didn't work. There's so many people that just to be critical to a point where you drop an anchor and that's it, the session's done. The relationship could be over, like never want to write with that person again maybe, but he goes, oh, cool, that's not it because this is what I'm thinking. And all of us go, oh yeah, that's actually the vision that we established for the song, so perfect. How do we get there? Then suddenly everyone goes off into their mind and goes, cool, how do we get there? And then when you say it, you know. That's also the beauty of having this vision we talked about in the morning and having examples of songs we want to go for. And even during the session going, oh, actually, sorry, I think you're thinking of this. When actually we're going here, we go, oh yeah, of course we're going here. This is the song we like. This is the style of vocal, the approach, the structure. So such a great experience top to bottom. And that was just the writing session. That was just the kind of 4 or 5 hours we had together after breakfast. And also that day he had 2 more songs to write. He had someone coming over from Disney, the executive, and then he took us out that evening. So that session, I feel like I've covered most of the highlights. There's so much more beauty and knowledge and just being with someone in this room. That's why I've taken this trip. When you're in the room with someone, I embody that. I feel like I'll be mimicking Alex. I'll be bringing out what he found to be useful, what success he had with Busby, and just hearing him talk about the way he writes and then seeing the way he writes is this fantastic thing that I truly, this trip's been quite difficult and hard to organize, and I'm sure it still will be until I leave, because that's my nature. I want to make things happen. I want to make things work, particularly for you guys. But just remembering after we'd hung out with Alex and we took a break before we went out in the evening, I just had this peace. I was like, wow, you actually did that. It actually happened. You are actually here doing it with Alex Geringas. Like it's worth it. It's all worth it is what I'm saying. And it's hard for me to get my head around that. And I truly, I'm glad I'm able to speak to you guys about this kind of thing, because it marks it. And I really, truly hope it inspires you, whether that's a sense of, you know, people are laughing, like they're very jealous. Like it's awesome. Great. I want people to be jealous of this because this is the thing that I'm fighting and struggling and bleeding for. But it's truly rewarding. When you fight and you struggle, you bleed, you have that ability to have fought, to have struggled and have bled for something. And just that first thing we did after a couple of days of being here was, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing that happened. I want to talk about what we did in the evening, because that was equally special. And that seed was also planted at breakfast. In the morning, he said, what are you guys doing later today? So for context, we'd arrived at 8:30. I had a pretty good idea from speaking to him. We'd be done around 3 o'clock. So James, Lauren and I were thinking after we're done with Alex, we'll just go and see Griffith Park or something like that. You know, anything in LA is truly beautiful, and actually haven't done any of the things I really want to do because hopefully I'll be too busy and hopefully we'll keep being busy. But, you know, even if I have time off, it's been amazing. But he said, what are you doing tonight? We went, James and I looked at each other like, well, we have plans, but what are you saying, Alex Geringas? You absolute hero, someone to look up to. I didn't say that out loud, that was in my head. He goes, oh, because I've got these... He talked about this artist during the day, actually, a guy called Michael J. Woodard. And he showed us a track he'd sung on and he talked a little bit about him. He said, oh, guys, because I got tickets tonight. You're on the guest list. Come to the showcase at Hotel Cafe. Me and James are like, ah, oh, that's amazing. And we kind of had this little moment. We're like, oh, but would you happen to have another one? Because James's girlfriend is in the area. He's like, Alex was like, he started laughing. He goes, oh my God, it's fate. Yeah, I took three extra, four total. And we're like, this is incredible. The dude's just not only had us for a session, showed us around, been so, so kind in terms of knowledge, time, experience, all this stuff we can pick up over time. He goes, it's also got us just four tickets to a private showcase of an incredible artist on Katy Perry's record label on Capitol Records at Hotel Cafe, which is an iconic venue here in LA. It's just, still unbelievable, but... We went, of course, we were like, yes. So as I said, when the session had finished, James and I went back to our place so that we could again meet again in North Hollywood. Yeah, North Hollywood, just off Sunset. Again, saying these things is so funny, like it's normal, but I can't believe we're doing what we're doing. And it's truly because of this podcast, literally because of this podcast and what I talk about and why we do what we do and how we do what we do, that I can say that we arrived in LA, at the Hotel Cafe. And Alex was like, yeah, I'll meet you guys there. Alex pulls up, we hang out and we have a laugh. Again, slightly surreal. I definitely embarrassed him a few times, but I told him I'm going to embarrass him. I was like, it's crazy to be here. And even before we went into the Hotel Cafe, we took lunch after the session and like we went to Cheesecake Factory, which I know sounds basic if you're American, but like I've heard about it from Big Bang Theory as a kid, you know, and I know it's a normal place to eat, but just sitting in Cheesecake Factory with James, Lauren, and Alex, it's one of those moments. And that's actually where Alex showed us a bit more about Michael J. Woodard, where we went that evening. So again, we're back walking in and going up to the door and the guy's going, oh yeah, who you guys here with? I was like, oh, Alex plus three, we go in. Go to the bar in this beautiful venue and you can see the stage as well. You can probably check out again on Instagram or Michael J. Woodard. You'll see fantastic little setup. I thought it would just be like, you know, quite a chill open mic, but it was like, no, it's a full blown show with this gorgeous lighting and the atmosphere. So Alex and I go up to the bar. I don't really drink. So Alex was like, what do you want? I said, oh, I'm good with water. Thank you. So get some water, come back. And Alex was like, it's an open bar. He tried to pay for his beer. The guy wouldn't let him. So he's like, okay, what's happening here? And even on the entrance there's these gorgeous huge, probably like 2 meter by meter at least, maybe more, artwork of Michael J's EP. And I was like, oh, this is cool. There's two of those as you walk in, this gorgeous red curtain stage, free drink at the bar. And then the show was supposed to start, I think it was 6:45, so all of us got there and I was absolutely fine waiting because I got to talk to Alex and again, just pick his brains. And we had quite a moment, which was cool to be able to have because we'd met that day and he'd been so kind and we'd worked really hard and he enjoyed the song. And we were texting like, yeah, the song's really cool. Like, oh, awesome. The song is cool. He thinks it's good. But then we had a bit of time to be apart and we come together and he said, yeah, I've written these songs, but we both said, it was so cool to meet you. He said the same as like, I really enjoyed this and it's such a great session. And not only that, but the interview was fantastic and then all of this coming together. So it's amazing. We were talking. And as you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes later, and that's normal. Like I spent all my time playing live shows. So I was waiting for the sound guy to look and I was like, oh, and then I know it's going to happen. Look at the stage door. And Alex said, Jamie, I think it's late because Katy Perry is going to be here. And I was like, oh. And again, still hasn't sunk in. And I said to Alex jokingly, I said, oh, well, I hope she brings Orlando Bloom. She's my first hero and the reason I pull a bow is because of Orlando Bloom's portrayal of Legolas. But as I said that, this dark-haired woman just moved behind Alex. And then suddenly the sound guys started to move into position and you could see the artists making their way to the stage. And I was like, oh, that is her. And on cue, she walks up onto the stage. And these things happen faster than you can really allow them to sink in. And even now, a couple of days later, it sounds silly, but to have been in a room with someone of that success, of that vibration is a really, really bad word. But that's how it felt. To see her come up on stage, and I filmed a bit of the monologue. You can probably check out the monologue elsewhere as well. But just her being there was something really strange. On top of a day that was already quite unbelievable, you go in to see probably one of the most recognizable and successful artists ever to take to a stage. She just stood there like anyone else. Really kind, really sweet, very funny. And you could see her interactions with people in the crowd and the room were just very reassuring, if anything. And it's easy to stand outside and see this artist who's got, I think, 1.8 billion streams and 200 million followers on Instagram, which are such incredible numbers. Just be there. And for you to realize that, of course, that is years and years away, or probably never really attainable. And there's so many things around her that, you know, you can't just walk up and work with her. But at the same time, just seeing that it did happen for someone that is stood in front of you. And even she said, quite funnily, lucky I captured it, she said, you have to be delusional to work in this industry. And I don't know, there's something about it I can't explain, but you go into a room of people like that, being with Alex to see someone like that, and her introducing Mark or Jay. And again, it's hard to explain, you have to be there. But I was slightly kind of, oh yeah, we'll see how this goes, we'll see what he's like. I'd heard some of his stuff, Alex was really saying how great he was. I was like, okay, we'll see. And then the show started and the sound was incredible as this guy playing at the back, you know, doing the keys and triggering and the backing tracks. And then Michael started singing. And I promise you, the next 35 minutes of my life just went by. I was dancing, I was throwing down, I was just trying to get my head around it, filming, and I was blown away. Like, I have not felt like that at a live show. It may well have been the whole trip and the feeling and his skill and Katie being there and co-signing him and knowing the story. But just an artist like that in the room, it's such a fantastic thing. And if anything, it was that love of live music again. It was that, you know, how he sung, how the songs are structured. Of course, my mind doesn't fully turn off technically how everything is done. But just being there for that evening was fantastic. But the thing that was maybe practical for me to share was when Michael was talking about the EP and everything that was maybe more obvious, but then he started to point around the room, say, this is Trouble, or this is Face, or this is 24 Hours, naming his songs, and pointed at the co-writers in the room. And obviously everyone was talking to Katy Perry, and I'm still kicking myself that I didn't, you know, because then I have those delusions of, oh, maybe she would have wrote together. It's like, that's not the world we live in, as I said. But he went around the room and I went, oh, I actually saw someone at the front. I saw this guy, like, really cool energy, hat, sitting there with another guy slightly older than him. And Michael J said, oh, this is 24 Hours written by Casey in the front row. I went, oh, his writers are here tonight. And that was something that really spurred me on, because Alex was sweet enough actually after the show to introduce us to Michael J Woodard. Check out Michael J Woodard, he's freaking awesome. Just put out his record, I think, a couple weeks ago. He introduced us as, oh, these are some incredible songwriters, one from the UK, one from Australia. They're only here for a week or so. Like, you have to work with them. I was like, I can't believe he just said that. Like, to get a co-sign from someone you've met that day to someone at that level, and they go, oh man, awesome, let's talk about it. It's like, it's crazy, right? But the beautiful thing was, is that when he came off stage, obviously everyone was like, right, I want to talk to Katy Perry, I want to talk to Michael J. And I was just being realistic. I was like, okay, that will be cool. And truly, I'm kicking myself that I didn't speak to her, because you never know if you're ever going to have the opportunity again. And that's something I'll probably have to deal with in therapy. But I knew I could probably speak to the writer, Casey. So I just went straight through the crowd and I was like, hey man, how are you doing? I absolutely adored that song, 24 Hours, that happened at the end. And you know what? It was my favorite. It really hit me. And I think check out 24 Hours by Michael J. Woodard. It was so cool to be in the room, not only with all those people and having had that experience that day and sharing it with James and Lauren, but being able to go up to a writer and shake their hand and say, well done, I genuinely love your song, and hearing a bit of his story and then swapping Instagrams and actually meeting his manager, which was really cool, right next to us going, hey man, nice to meet you. How long have you guys worked together? Just having that personal, physical, human interaction, no matter where it goes, is something you can all do. It's having that ability, I guess, and courage only comes from fear. Like, I was very nervous, of course, and it would have been easier just to sit and talk to James and Alex and the people that I knew. Even I saw Alex moving, and this dude from Boys Like Girls, which is a band I absolutely love, when I was younger, came up to Alex and they started talking. I was like, okay, he's moving, I'm gonna move. Went over to Casey, as I said, but that fear can turn to courage. You don't get courage from nothing. Courage comes from being scared. So I was scared, okay, cool, go over. It went really well. Like, it was just seamless. It's like working with Alex and meeting Alex. Like, you're expecting people just to say no, to kind of ignore you, to not want to work with you. But swapping messages with Casey like that night and chatting to him about trying to catch up and, you know, would you want to be in the interview? Do you want to write together? And he was genuinely like, yeah, that'd be awesome. Because of the context of having already worked with Alex and slowly starting to realize that I do belong working with these people. I do belong in these rooms, not working with Katy Perry. And not be able to go and talk to Katy Perry. I'm not delusional. I'm not expecting her to be able to go, oh yeah, great, nice to meet you, someone I've never heard of, let's work together. But when you try and approach someone who you feel like is of a similar level, of a similar kind of resonance, it worked and it was cool. And again, it helps that his manager was there. I could just shake a hand and it's easy then for to have that interaction. Makes it easier for the manager and also the writer, Casey, in this case. Check out Casey the writer on Instagram, you can. To say, yeah. And it was easy, and I think being aware of the context and going over and willing to be shot down, as I have with many, many, many other things in my life, is the secret, right? And you can make that one connection, make that one right person. And of course, it would have been enough to just sit with Alex and go, cool, because that is an incredible thing. And, you know, I can't go into it because we're coming up to the kind of limit of what I think you guys can handle listening to my cracking audio here in this room as the sun goes down. I think even the conversations I had later that day with Alex, he took us to the Soho House. Like, oh, do you guys want to go to Soho House in West Hollywood? And we're like, well, of course we do. Of course. And we're just laughing the whole night. And Alex was just so kind. And he really enjoyed the fact that we were quite green and never come. And he's just taking us around and being funny and kind. And it's beyond what you expect, beyond what we could have hoped for. And I kind of said to myself actually before this trip, because I landed and I was super jet lagged and unconfident and everything was new and I hadn't organized everything and trying to get a car, I couldn't get a car and I didn't know where I'm staying and didn't know what dates I'm seeing people, and you want to leave it open, but then you also need to confirm something so you have a place to stay, you know, all of that. But I kind of tried to tell myself, you don't know what could happen. There are things you're unaware of that might happen to make it worthwhile, all of this risk and this time and this money and uprooting all of my work with my clients, as I said, because they're the thing that keep me going and the people that make this possible. So I've really tried to say thank you, and I've really enjoyed working with you guys in the morning. It gives me something to kind of push off on the day from, to know I've achieved something meaningful that morning working with people I care about, to then go and try and do the more speculative, difficult, strange things in the evening. You know, that's what's really, really grounded me here. So the whole experience, I've done my best to try and outline it, and it's been amazing. And as I said, going with Alex to finish off the evening, overlooking LA and the Soho House, and just laughing with him and being able to ask him really personal, quite difficult questions about him moving here to this country and his experiences and the things that went wrong. And I think another final credit to Alex is that he's so happy to talk about the failures in his life and so happy to talk about the pivots and, you know, and also his manager is just someone I'd love to meet as well. But again, A-League, Premier League, as Pete Kirtley calls it. It's just fantastic to be able to have someone like Alex, and he's so good at what he does, but also holistically of, he knows when to say no, similar to Pete. He's like, he understands where I am in my career and what is available to me and what is appropriate to be introduced to me, and trying to have those opportunities. And it's very easy for me to get carried away. That's who I am. But I also think that that is the secret for you guys, that you want to be passionate. You want to be at a point where if something goes wrong, it can hurt because you care enough, because there's enough on the line, because you've put enough into it. And I often think that's what allows people to say yes. Like, you know, we made the trip all the way out here. So Alex was like, well, of course we're going to work together. Of course I'm going to do everything I can to help you and to inform you and to make sure you have a great time. And also give you the hard facts, give you the difficult facts, give you the context and the stories. And I can't wait for the rest of this trip. This is day 5, I think, and day 4 for James and Lauren. Bless them with extra jet lag. They've been amazing. And met Jerome last night, went to Long Beach, and you meet someone you spent years working with and talking to. And it's beyond words currently. So I'm going to actually stop because I've got to what I wanted to say. And I think there's so many gems. I know there's so many gems for you guys to pick over. And if they're not, it's because I haven't explained it properly. But there's enough for you guys, I think, to start to give yourself that permission to do things that are crazy. Particularly, I know there's some young songwriters that listen to this that are able to. They don't have families. They don't have huge anchors and chains. Like, you can do this stuff. And actually, I spoke to a client today who's a new dad. I'm like, do you know what? Having a kid is going to make this more vital, make this more meaningful, and give you that extra energy to get things done. Talking about different people that have been on this podcast as well, and friends of mine that are doing fantastic things in their life, their parents. And it's because they're parents that they've been able to achieve those wonderful things. It's because that they're older, more experienced, they've been able to achieve those wonderful things. So this has got different entry points, whether you are someone starting out or with more experience in life or with more kind of real-time anchors like jobs and families. Like, this is still possible. You just have to scale it to what you're doing. And if anything, you know, people with families, I'm jealous of them because it's a beautiful thing. Anyway, LA, Alex Geringas, check out Michael J. Woodard. It's awesome. I'd love to work with him. Trying to do my best to get there. I'll let you know if I do. I'm looking to try and speak to a couple more people here in LA, and got sessions tomorrow and trying to book in more, and it's an absolute chaotic nightmare. But that's the beauty of it. And I'm going to do my very best in a couple of days to update you guys if things are going well, and if they're not, also being honest as to why. So here we go. Cracking audio. My tea's gone cold, but what can you do? Totally worth it. Bit more work to do this evening. And then another day begins in this beautiful and strange and difficult and violent place. Good night. I'll speak to you very soon.